Welcome to session 119 of the Bible in a Year commentary. If you started this series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 29th of April. Today, we'll be looking at Isaiah 42 to 44 and starting Psalm 119. But so far in Isaiah, we've read through the first half of Isaiah, focused on the judgment and future hope of Jerusalem and the nations, and then the judgment on Israel's leaders for where they put their trust. Through these different preaches and visions, we gathered a series of images. God was about to pour judgment on the Israelites for their wickedness and corruption. This punishment was described like God laying an axe to a tree and just a stump remaining. It was destruction intended to purge and purify. Out of that remnant of his people, this tree stump, God would raise up a branch from the line of David, who would be king, who reigned over the earth and brought peace. Focusing on the foreign nations, we got mention of a day of the Lord. On this day, God will bring judgment, waging war on evil and wickedness. He will destroy powers that set themselves up against him, whether that be human kings or spiritual beings. These foreign nations are judged for their pride, oppression and wickedness. Isaiah specifically mentions Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Cush, also known as Ethiopia, Egypt and Tyre. Focusing on Israel's leaders, Isaiah pointed out that the judicial leaders, the priests, and even some of those who claimed to be prophets were proud drunkards who put their trust in their own power and authority rather than God. But through these preachers, Isaiah highlights some key ideas. The Israelites are not to turn to these foreign nations for support and protection. God is in control and will use all of this for his purposes. Eventually, even these foreign nations will be brought into God's future kingdom. In that time, all people will celebrate, feast and worship God, led by a king who will bring peace and flourishing. Then yesterday, we started the second half of Isaiah, written to the people after the exile, giving them a new hope. It was God that led the other nations to do what they did, not those nations' own strength or their own gods. God was always in control and will lead his people to flourish again. But let's jump in with today's reading, Isaiah 42 to 44. God begins talking about someone he refers to as my servant. In the previous chapter, God calls the nation of Israel my servant. That's Isaiah 41 verse 8. And we see this term used for them again and again, Isaiah 44 verse 1 and Isaiah 45 verse 4. So it makes sense that God is talking about Israel here. But look at the language God uses to describe this servant. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. That's Isaiah 42 verse 1. While this could refer to a nation, this kind of language is very similar to the language used when talking about the future king that will lead the people well. This servant will bring justice to the nations. He will be a light to the people, and he will inspire a new song of praise to God. This servant is an example of how all believers, all the people of God, should live. In contrast with the servant, God turns back to Israel and calls them a blind servant. These blind servants could see and hear, but chose not to obey or listen. So God used them to magnify the importance of his law. He let them be punished and ravaged by other nations. But despite all of this, God still loves his people. He has now redeemed them and will be with them. God says all this to remind them that even in their bleak times, he was still in control. And he has not forgotten them, but will restore them. God then calls his blind and deaf servants together and reminds them of who they are. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. That's Isaiah 43 verse 10. He then reminds them of who he is, that he is the God that was before all things. He is the one that brought them back out of Babylon, the Holy One, creator of Israel and their king. He transforms the earth to bring order and abundance, making a path across water and bringing life to deserted places. But despite all this, his people did not call on him. They did not bring him offerings or sacrifices as they should. God was willing to blot out their sins. He was willing to forgive them. But his people were not willing to be forgiven or to repent of what they had done. So he let them be destroyed. But now he is calling them back to him. They belong to him. He formed them and made them. He will pour out blessing upon them. God is trying to help his people recognize where they went wrong and encourage them that there is still hope. He is still willing to bless them and transform them. God then tackles foreign gods and idols. There is no God like God. no one able to meet God's challenge, and idols are worthless. God then goes into detail about how metal workers and carpenters go about making their idols. His point? These idols aren't anything special. They are made with human hands and are nothing more than hunks of metal or wood. The wood that a man makes into an idol is also the same wood he uses to cook his bread. And yet he still prays to this idol, hoping that it might save him. Instead, let Israel call out and sing to God, because he is the one who rescues them. He is the one that will help them rebuild and live in the land once more. That's Isaiah 42 to 44. But now let's jump into Psalm 119, verses 1 to 32. The psalm isn't attributed to anyone in particular and falls into the category of wisdom psalm. A couple of days ago, we read the shortest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 117. In contrast, Psalm 119 is the longest at 176 verses. Because of this, we're going to split this psalm across 6 days. For the first four, we'll look at 32 verses or four stanzas each. And then for the last 2 days, we'll look at 24 verses, three stanzas each day. Each stanza has 8 verses each, and each verse within a stanza starts with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. With 22 stanzas, we have a different stanza for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In many ways, this psalm could be seen as the ABCs of biblical wisdom. Here is a summary of the structure, but I would recommend checking out the written version of the commentary in the description to see the structure properly for yourself. We have verses 1 to 8 starting with Aleph, "Blessed are those who walk according to the law." Verses 9 to 16 starting with Beit, "Treasure up the ways of the Lord from youth." Verses 17 to 24 starting with Gimel, "Be good to me so that I may understand." Then verses 25 to 32 starting with Dalet, "Even when I'm low, your word strengthens me." Much like Psalm 1, this psalm starts with a blessing for those who walk in the ways of the Lord. Here, Psalm 199 ties that specifically with those who walk in the law of the Lord, who keep his decrees. It is through God's word and command that we learn how to live. We are required to be faithful to God's commands and steadfast in keeping them. This is how we avoid being put to shame. The second stanza is focused on how might young people learn to keep their ways pure. The answer is by keeping to God's word. The psalmist treasures the word of God in their heart. They delight in it and meditate on it. They ask God to help them keep it. They recognise it's not something we can do on our own. In the third stanza, the psalmist asks God to be good to them so that they can keep God's word, to open their eyes so they can understand it properly. The psalmist is surrounded by people that don't love God or keep his ways. The examples around them are bleak. So the psalmist asks that God continually bring his word before them and help them keep them. For the fourth stanza, the psalmist shares some of their own struggles. They often feel low and filled with sorrow. Because of this, they recognise it is the Lord's word that revives and strengthens them. It is understanding God's ways and meditating on what he has done that keeps the psalmist going. Because of this, they cling to the Lord's word. We'll see much of the same language and many of the similar ideas repeated throughout this psalm. The whole point of this psalm was that it was structured in a way that meant it could be easily memorised. Then, once memorised, it could be meditated upon. With the repetitive themes and language all help this purpose.